people who are negative and criticizing and people who aren't into geek culture. But right now, those guys are in the minority, so we can enjoy our time in the sun.
Indeed. But on this subject of our time in the sun, I mean, what do you think about the future of this in America, this phenomenon that we have seen?
Well, I have what I always was supportive of, and I think it's when I look what's out there nowadays, I see it happening more and more, and that is this bridge between pop culture, not just from Japan coming, say, to the States or to Europe, but people influencing each other around the world. And when we had done this competition every year called Rising Stars of Manga, in fact, there's a pretty good chance that you'll be hearing about that type of competition again in the near future as we dip our toes rapidly back into the game. It was always about trying to find a platform to support manga artists worldwide, whether those manga artists are Japanese or not. And it was always a bit controversial, but the point behind it all is if you're into cosplay and you live in DC, or if you're into, Vocaloid and you live in Seattle, or, you know, whatever your thing, there's no reason why you can only dream of getting involved. Why not work towards a global economy of pop culture that includes otaku, includes Japan pop culture, includes Asian pop culture? And so people like yourself, people like, you know, others listening to this podcast, if you have, you know, already you can become a voice actor, but what if you want to become an artist? What if you want to become a game designer? What if you want to become a Vocaloid creator? You know, I think those opportunities will be expanding with time, and it's because of the support of the community, which is also expanding.
Indeed. When you probably also say the technology is also allowing, you know, that not only are we going to see maybe more and more from, you know, the big American and Japanese industrial, you know, industry giants, but also probably maybe, you know, we'll start seeing more of the indie stuff coming out, you know, kind of, you know, these crazy cultural hybrids as you know, time goes on.
I think it's absolutely the case. And I was invited late last year to go down to Honduras and attend one of their cons out there. And it was 1,000 passionate screaming otaku in Honduras, and they're cosplaying. And I asked them about, you know, who's creating their own manga, and a bunch of them are doing drawing and other stuff. And I've also since that time learned of people in Turkey that do the same thing. And I've seen a YouTube video of a girl from Algeria that's also drawing. And so these are just some simple examples, but the fact is it really is a borderless fandom. And people who know me know I'm not a purist. I love Japan. I speak Japanese. It's my adopted culture. But at the same time, I think that people should influence each other around the world, and creativity should take its own route. It should not be put into a box or put into a cage. And if you go back in time and you look at history and you look at the way that, you know, Walt Disney influenced Tezuka, and then Tezuka influenced Walt Disney back, and these guys were influencing each other way back in the day, you know that, and that's not even talking about, like, you know, the Edo period when, you know, boxes would show up wrapped in, you know, newspapers in Europe, and, you know, basically artists in the time in Japan would see that, and that would influence them and back and forth. And this is what artistic expression is about. And so, yeah.
Indeed. Now, what would you especially say about since this cultural boom has come, there's been a great blending of the Japanese and the American, Japanese manga, American comics, Japanese anime, American animation.
Yeah.
And I mean, this blending of animation and the graphic novels, I mean, like, they're bounding off one another. I mean, the greatest example of this for me was extensively finding out that the former lead guitarist and singer from Megadeth, Marty Friedman, was working with a very prominent J-pop group, Mono Clover Z, on the track for Sailor Moon Crystal. In fact, he is, folks, the guitar line you hear in that song is the legendary Marty Friedman's famous finger work. I mean, what do you think about that? Just, you know, this blending of culture, like, you know, that we're kind of creating that global culture you speak of.
That's right. I mean, I to me, that's what is exciting. Every time I talk to creators that I know in Japan, we talk about Hollywood films that they've watched and they're into, or European cinema. Every time I talk to creators here in Hollywood, they're asking me about the latest anime or, you know, a manga that they've picked up. People are exposed to each other's cultures, and they not only accept it, typically the more open-minded people embrace it and become fans. And so, you know, from my point of view, I think that it's inevitable that we're going to be influenced by each other. And if you're creative and you're finding your own style and your own expressionism, that's going to come from the things that have influenced you in your lifetime. And so saying, oh no, I'm American, so I have to do this kind of thing, or I'm Japanese, I have to do that kind of thing, I think that that's a bit old fashioned. And while I know not everybody agrees with me in that view, I know once again, there's a whole group of purists, and I'm not trying to denigrate the value of authenticity of a culture. I just think that cultures evolve and there's a lot of influence back and forth, and that's something we should embrace as long as people are not trying to exploit it, but they're trying to express themselves from within in a pure manner.
Indeed. And further to that point, I mean, what do you think about this rather interesting thing? Because literary critics over the years have started identifying, you know, comics as an authentic piece of truly American literature, a truly American form of literature. And historians in Japan are, you know, now starting to see manga as this authentically Japanese form of literature. The same thing with anime and animation in animated series in the United States. I mean, what do you think about just this kind of this mirror image that America and Japan have had culturally? And it's existed for some time, but is now, you know, it was maybe unnoticed. I mean, what do you think about that? Just like how similar we really are.
Well, I do think that, you know, it's the relationship between Japan and America in particular is this fascinating one, because if you think about the late 1800s, when the Edo period opened up to Meiji and the exposure of, at that time, it was, of course, a lot of European influence as well, but there were Japanese who came to America and learned about the Wild West. There was a real curiosity about what American culture was, and a number of scholars in Japan could actually speak fluent English. And as, for instance, baseball came into Japan, as well as early form of art like the cartoons and the comics that you're talking about, those heavily influenced Japanese culture until they led up to World War II, where English language and exposure to that culture was completely closed out. And then that had to change. The Japanese evolved on their own approach. In fact, it's interesting how in baseball at that period of time, the Japanese had to come up with their own words to say strike and home run and all these things that they had depended on English words, and they couldn't use any of those. And so the culture then took a turn. It took a significant turn away from America. And then that allowed a lot of its own culture to come into these more modern forms of expressionism. And after that point, when the war ended and America obviously occupied Japan until Japan became its own independent nation, there have since that time been so many touch points between the countries and influences back and forth, even though I think there's a lot of nationalistic pride on each side for its own form of these mediums. And so it's a really interesting, I guess, a way of learning about not only history, but the sort of nuanced role of countries that have gone through both being enemies and the best of friends.
A very awesome story indeed. Well, one final note that I would like to talk about is something that we touched on earlier, but I mean, it's such a major topic in media today, which is the discussion of piracy.
Yes.
And extensively also IP rules. I mean, because they're different in Japan and in America. America is a little bit more strict. Japan is a little bit more fluid with their IP laws. What do you think about that? And I mean, you know, you said this was something that really hit Tokyo Pop very hard.
That's right.
What are your thoughts on these things?
Well, first of all, let me say I'm an absolute lover of technology. Even though I'm an older generation, I actually am. I started programming when I was a little kid, and I had my old TRS-80 at home, and you know, so I've been tech savvy since I was young, and so I feel really lucky that even though I'm you know, in my middle age, I am comfortable with all the tools that people use nowadays. In fact, I'm probably a bit more ahead than most people in using those tools, and so I welcome the disruption of technology. Or I should say the disruption by technology of industries. I think it's good for our society. I think it's good for our economy. I think it's good for everyone. But along the way, there are always going to be victims. There will always going to be people who lose, people.